You can turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll be looking at a few verses from this chapter tonight. It's good to be back with everyone. We had a good trip and saw my parents this time around. The Sunday before, we were in Dunlap, Tennessee, so we had a good couple weeks to visit with family and to see all of the kinfolk and visit with cousins and all of that. So we enjoyed the time, but it's always good to be back home. And now here we are at the end of a year. It's always remarkable when you get to the end of a year and how quickly the preceding months have passed. You know, it seems like the time each year goes more rapidly. And as we think about our accomplishments as Christians in the past year, we can look back and we can see things that we are thankful for, opportunities that we've had and that have presented us with occasions to do good, and we've been able to accomplish good for the Lord. We might look back and see things that we would like to change, do better on. But as we think about the finality of a year, we come to the end of a year, but, you know, within a few days, you know, we pass over and it's the new year and we get to start all over again. We might set new resolutions. We might make new plans, have new goals, whatever it might be. But the end of life is also coming where, you know, there is the finality of our existence on this earth. And that brings about a whole new set of thoughts. And the Apostle Paul in this chapter is at that point in his life where he has come not to the end of a year, not to the end of a decade, but to the end of his life. And this is something that he knows. The Holy Spirit, of course, is inspiring Paul to write these words. And beginning in verse 6, he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." You know, there is a day when the soul will leave the body, when there is a separation between the two. None of us knows when that's going to be. We typically expect, as the normal process of life allows, that we will live into our, you know, gray-headed days. And then the end of life will come at some point. But we don't have that guarantee. We know because we see frequent reminders that both the young and the old can leave this life unexpectedly. But what we know is that we can leave this life having accomplished the things that make this life worthy of glad reflection. And we also finish this life with the expectation of even better things awaiting us after it's over. That's the beauty of Christianity. And that is what Paul has on his heart as he writes these words by the Holy Spirit. Yes, he is being poured out as a drink offering. So this is a common occurrence during those occasions when sacrifices would be made. There might be the pouring out of a drink offering. And then after that's poured out, then you have the sacrifice that is made. Paul is being poured out. He's drawing near to the time when his life is over and the sacrifice is made. He has been making an ongoing sacrifice. Romans chapter 10 reflects upon the idea that we are presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, that we did that. We were bought with a price. We presented our bodies a living sacrifice, and we continue to live that way. And he did. So his present reality is that life is about to come to an end. He knows that. Now, for us, we don't have that certain understanding that within a short time we're ending our lives. But the truth is we should live with the expectation that it could be over. And even if I'm in the finest of health, I also know that the Lord may return at any time. So I should always live with the expectation that I don't have a lot of time to delay things that I know I should take care of now. Or get to putting into action things that I have so far left undone. Paul says in verse 7, as he reflects upon his accomplishments, what has he done? I have fought the good fight, is the first thing he says. There is a fight that is a good fight. And spiritually speaking, when you resist temptation and you overcome, you know, this is the good fight. When you speak out against the error that is doctrinally pervasive in our world, many religious people, many sincere religious people, but they might be teaching their coworkers, teaching friends and neighbors false things that are leading people to destruction. When we, with the spirit of love, speak forth the truth so that souls might be directed in the right way and against, we're exposing error, that's a good fight. And you will engage in conversations where you come away feeling like I've just been in a fight, even though you went with the spirit of peace and love. But again, that's a good fight. And it's necessary. Jesus had to engage in those encounters all of the time because he was dealing with the scribes and the Pharisees, who he very directly called hypocrites because that was the reality of how they were living. He exposed their works and their ways as being contrary to God's will. He was fighting the good fight. You see, as Christians, it's necessary that we engage in those conversations, that we take up those subjects that most people don't want to discuss. But when it has to do with people's soul and their salvation, we must speak forth those truths and be willing to get in the crossfire, you know, to put our lives on the line, so to speak. And in some places, you know, brethren are literally doing that. Speaking the truth puts them in harm's way. We're fortunate because we have freedoms that we're blessed with. But we don't know how long those freedoms will continue. But what we do know is that fight still must be fought no matter what we're faced with. And Paul then says, I've finished the race. Think about it from that perspective. We are in a race that we're running according to rules that have been established by God. Paul always was running his race according to the rules. You know, sometimes you see people breaking rules. Sometimes people in a race will try to take a shortcut, or they might use drugs to enhance their performance that are illegal. So there are many ways that people might try to get around the rules, but in this race, you can't make it to the end and be crowned with eternal life and be a rule breaker. In fact, Jesus said, you remember how he presented the picture on the judgment scene in Matthew chapter 10, where there are those that will say, Lord, Lord. You see, they'll acknowledge who he is, but he will say to them, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, because they didn't run according to the rules. Theirs might have been a religion based on feeling, popularity, doing what everybody else was doing. But it comes to the matter of obeying what the Lord has given us in his word and being true to him and demonstrating love, fidelity through compliance with his commands. Paul had finished the race. We will, along the way, get weary at times. We will sometimes feel like giving up. But this is a race worth finishing, because at the end, there is a guarantee. You run this race, you run according to God's rules, you will be crowned. And in this race, everyone's a winner. You have a home prepared for you. There is a mansion waiting for you. In fact, along the way in this race, you're trying to help everybody else get there. This is a race where encouragement is necessary, rebuke is necessary, admonishment, all those things, because we've got to get to the end and receive the crown. And he says then he had kept the faith. You see, this book that we set before us and that we read is the source of our faith. This is the Word of God. And the faith is that system that God has given us by which we are living today. The gospel, the glad tidings, the good news of salvation through Christ. The system that is in place and started at the cross and goes till the end of time is what we are under, and keeping the faith involves maintaining a trueness and a loyalty to the belief system that we have been given and clinging to it by the truth, the psalmist or the proverb writer said, and sell it not. We don't want to let go of saving truth because therein is our hope. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because he says it is the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1 verse 16. And so Paul in verse 7 reflected on his living, and then he speaks of the reward in verse 8. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Because he had fought the fight, finished the race, kept the faith, when he stands before this righteous judge, he will be judged as righteous. The Lord will say, depart, but he will also say, come. And how wonderful to consider the reality of that moment when we personally stand before Christ in judgment on that day. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Paul speaks of things that are yet in the future, and sometimes they're vague, sometimes they're not real to us, but they are genuinely real and going to happen. And when we think about what we have to look forward to on that day, all who love his appearing and live to see him one day, we have so much to look forward to. So as we reflect upon a year gone by and whatever opportunity remains for us, let us live in such a fashion as to be always prepared, always ready for either death or for the coming of our Lord when he comes to reward his servants and to judge the world in righteousness. If you tonight are not a child of God, reflect upon the truth communicated through the pages of this blessed book that tell us exactly what God expects us to do, so that we might, in coming to him, saying, Father, Abba, Father, we're crying out to him. He shows us, here's what you do to become my child. Believe in my Son, that he's the Savior of the world. Turn from your sins. Acknowledge your faith. Be immersed so that your sins might be washed away, and live as a faithful child. If you've departed from living that is in compliance with God's will, if you have trouble in your life, you need the prayers of your Christian family, you know we're here to help you. We can pray for you. We can help lift you up, strengthen you. If you need to come tonight, we encourage you to do that as we stand and sing.